All right, let's read together Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 down through verse number 24. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Christ, Jesus Christ's. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with a father, he hath served me in the gospel, served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word and this time that we have to spend in it this morning. We just pray that you'll give us wisdom in all that we say and do now. Help us to take these things and apply them to our lives. We may bring glory to your name. We pray this in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. I want to talk to you today about working together. That's the idea that we get from these verses here. As Paul writes to the church from a distance, and we know from previous verses and we know from what he says himself here that he wants to come and be with them, to minister to them, to work with them, but he's unable to because he's in jail. And he writes and says, I'm going to send Timothy to you, and Timothy's going to come and he'll work with you. And we see working together here, not only Paul and Timothy working together to go and help this church, but this church working together with Paul and Timothy. And we know that as believers and as the church together, we have to do many things. It's important that we all work together. So that's our thought today. But I would begin with this sort of a shocking statement to say that working together to most is only an illusion. Think about that for just a minute. You know, in the limited amount of time spent together, only a limited amount is actually accomplished. And generally, that's only accomplished if it is individually beneficial. Happy Sunday. Now, those are tough words, but I feel like they're true words, especially in the church. And you can apply that, those things in your home. You can apply it job, you can apply it in a lot of ways, but if you be honest, our human nature is to only act when it is individually beneficial. I'll go and be a part of that, but only if it benefits me in some. I've spent most of my days this last week down at the Pegram Ballpark. They're having All-Stars down there, and I go and I sit and I cheer, and I spend my money at the concession stand. You know, I'm getting involved in the community. That's what I should be doing, right? Well, I'll be honest with you. Number one has Strickland on the back of his jersey. He plays hind catcher. I'm there for him. If he was not there, I would stay home and watch TV. You see the point? I'm working together with those people over there. I even helped the man the other night. I was kind of proud of myself. I usually kind of keep to myself. I'm shy out in public, believe it or not. And I just mind my business, don't do anything. But one of the coaches had to, after the game, there was another game, and he had to go out there and prepare the field. And felt bad for him out there. He'd just coached the game, and he probably wanted to go home, so I went out there and helped him out. And I'm out there working together with these people. And as much as I want to feel good about myself in that, I'll be honest with you, though. If my boy wasn't out there, I wouldn't even be in that vicinity. I'd be back over here near the Cheatham-Dixon County line where I live and spending my time there. So I would say to you again here, as we think of working together in the church, working together to most is only an illusion. We're trying to, we think we are, we feel like we're working together. But in the limited amount of time we spend together, only a limited amount is accomplished. And generally, only if it is individually beneficial. Warren Wiersbe writes of this, and he says it this way. He says, in a very real sense, all of us here live either in Philippians 1:21 or Philippians 2:21. Now, that's a neat correlation he made there. Notice Philippians 1:21 with me there in your Bibles. Philippians 1:21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now these are great words. These are the words of someone who is completely emptied of self, not working only toward that which is individually beneficial. This is one willing to go or stay and do whatever is necessary for Christ and His church either way. And then this is drastically contrasted in chapter 2, verse 21, as Paul speaks of presumably the Roman church here. Chapter 2, verse 21, he says, for all seek their own, not the thing which are Jesus Christ's. You see the contrast there? On one end, you have a man who's emptied himself, who says, I'll do whatever I need to do, even if it means sitting in a jail cell. On the other end, you have this group that he's saying, they're only worried about their own things and not the things of Jesus Christ. Well, that's a sharp contrast, isn't it? But for true believers, working together for the gospel, for the sake of the gospel, becomes a reality. Verse number 5 of chapter 2 here, we come to learn of those who have in them this mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, he who emptied himself and became a servant for our sakes. Those who get this mind of Christ to become like Jesus, who became a servant and emptied himself, become able to be led out of themselves and free from themselves, thus bound to Christ and to fellow Christians. And there, and only there, can we begin to truly work together as we are told to do here, or as we are illustrated to do here, for the sake of the gospel. In the text here, the picture that Paul paints for us is in Timothy. And what a wonderful example that we get from Timothy here is Paul writes to the church and says, Timothy's going to come to you, and this is why he's coming, this is who he is. And through this introduction of this man, Timothy, that Paul is sending to the church in Philippi, you and I find a great picture painted of the example that we ought to be as Christians working together for the sake of the gospel. Let's begin first in verse 19 in the first part of verse 20. As Paul says to the church, as he writes and sends him, he says, there's nobody like him. Verse 19, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state, for I have no man like-minded. Now, Paul is introducing the idea to this church that Timothy is coming on Paul's behalf. Now, that's a feat, isn't it? They're respecting Paul. You're going to get Paul, but now you're going to get Timothy. And evidently, Timothy's just a normal guy, because Paul's having to introduce him, tell him all about him. So that's kind of stinky. And you know, it's like showing up to see Billy Graham preaching. You know, it's just, I don't know, me or Jed Clampett or somebody, you know. I mean, it's just not the same. And this is what Paul says here. But Paul says, he's coming on my behalf, and he says assuredly that Timothy is the only one for this job. Why? Because I have no other man like-minded. If I cannot come myself, Paul says, I feel the same would be accomplished by Timothy coming to you. Well, that speaks highly of Timothy, doesn't it? This speaks to Timothy's unique character. He is unique. Paul says there is nobody like him. You know, the world has stolen that from the church. As children, maybe for you as an elementary school, it was for me, we've become ingrained as all being individually unique. We're taught this. And obviously, if you study our DNA, we are individually unique. But we were taught that more on a superficial level. You know, there's nobody like you. Nobody looks just like you. Nobody's ugly. Nobody's fat. You know, everybody's just unique, all in their own way. Well, I tried to believe that, but I'm a little large, and I'm not that good looking, so my teachers lied to me. No, I'm just kidding. But as children, we're ingrained in that. But I'll tell you, the world has stolen that from the church. In fact, we're ingrained by those mostly who would deny the existence of our designer who did create us unique. So how can you tell me you're unique if you don't believe in the God who made me the unique person that I am? And I would say to you this morning that outside of God, we're all actually very similar. Think about it. You know, we're all, outside of God, just a bunch of sinners in need of a Savior, aren't we? We're all very similar, believe it or not. It's only in Christ that we begin to become unique. You see, before Jesus came into our hearts, we were all just as apt to sin as the next guy. I don't know what it was for you. It might have been drunkenness. It might have been abuse. It might have been, I don't know, let's not list the list of sins. Just those first two kind of got me discouraged there. But no matter how hard you tried before Jesus to be individually unique, you found yourself time and time again falling over into those same paths of sins as somebody before you. And only in Christ did you ever become individually unique. Paul is saying this not to bring glory to Timothy. He is saying this. Really, what he's saying is Timothy's not particularly special. He's just committed himself to Christ and his church. He is unique in that he serves a special Savior. In Christ, you and I are unique. Glory to God for that. Having the mind of Christ, We become like-minded. No one can complete God's will for us just as we can. This is what Paul's saying about Timothy. He says to the church there, he says, there is no one like him as he is like me, like Christ. You see the progression there of what Paul says about Timothy? And I would say that of us here this morning. You are unique. There is no one like you, like Paul, like Christ. And we could throw Timothy into the mix there as well. God has a purpose for your life that only you can accomplish like you would. That's the unique thing about working together, isn't it? Have you ever, quote, worked together under somebody who was only going to have it their way? And hey, I know all about this because I'm bad to want it my way. Oh, and you probably are too in your own little arena. But you know, we're working together to do this thing, but you're not able to be individual with it at all. You're just doing it the way somebody else says to do it because that's how it has to be done. Well, that's no fun, is it? I mean, you want to express yourself. You want to be individual. You want to do it the way you think it ought to be done. And they just won't let go and let you do it your way. But when we can truly just relax, nobody hoarding over us, and do it our own way, we become to understand that nobody can do it just as we would do it. God made us that way. God saved us for that purpose. God has placed us all together here in His church to accomplish what only we can by working together. So first, Paul says about Timothy, I have nobody else like him. Next, he says he cares for others. Notice the end of verse 20 here. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Paul says Timothy will naturally care for your state. Great it is that he would come on Paul's behalf and be caring. I mean, who would it? Paul could send anybody he wanted to, and for respect of Paul and the great ministry that he has and the great man that he is, would go and they would be caring and would do a good job with the work that Paul has entrusted with them. That's how we're wired as human beings. No matter if someone that you respected a lot tasked you with something to do, you would do a great job and you would do it with caring. But Paul says he's not coming to you just because I want him to be caring. He's not just being caring because I think that he should be. He's being caring because that's naturally just how he is. I like that. I like to hear that about Timothy, that this is a natural inclination for you. I would say this morning that in Christ, we should all be caring people. And I would add the word naturally to the end of that. We should all be caring people naturally. We shouldn't have to be working at it. The flesh, the world, and the devil would deceive us into only caring about self-preservation. Think through the things you cared about this week. The things that got your focus. What did you spend your time doing? Just think through those things. I'm not going to quiz you on them. I'm not going to make you stand up and tell everybody. But what did you know what you care about by the things you spent your time doing just this past week. You can think of that. Were they inward things or outward things? Inward or outward? And based off of that, you can see that without even realizing it, we can become programmed into only caring about ourselves if we're not careful. Naturally, in Christ, we are all very caring people. It is nearly impossible to be in Christ and not be naturally caring. Let me give you another word to go here. Gentle. Caring is a deceptive word, but gentle is not so much. What do we talk about? The servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. We're the servants of the Lord. We can't be out in the world quarreling. We can't be in the church quarreling. We must be gentle, naturally caring. Timothy could go for Paul because he would be just as gentle with those sheep as Paul would have. The church is Christ's bride. That's you and I, right? We're the bride of Christ. We're to be gentle with the bride, either for fear or for respect of the bridegroom. I have both for Christ, don't you? I have fear and respect. I'm not going to browbeat his bride. I'm not going to be mean to his bride. I'm not going to be rude to his bride. Gentle, naturally caring. That's the way to be. Timothy could work together with Paul, having the same mind, a caring mind, willing to be gentle. Caring or gentleness requires patience. Oh, that's a tough one. Yeah. I like Timothy, but I don't know if I can be like him. I mean, Paul says he's individually unique. he's caring, and to learn about his naturally being naturally caring, I'm finding out that he's gentle and that he's patient. But that's really what being caring and gentleness is, isn't it? Being patient with others. Well, it's hard to do. It's very hard to do. I need this done today. I need this done yesterday. I want it done like this. I want it done that way. I want things to operate in this fashion. We have a very unique church right now. We're a growing church. New people are coming. New things are happening. It's exciting. Everybody has ideas. And I hear the ideas. And I'm excited to hear the ideas. And usually if you've come to me with an idea, you've heard me say something along the lines of, we've just got to be patient with it. You can't just make this happen overnight. You know what happens with stuff, especially in a church, when you just make it happen overnight? People don't like change. Oh, don't look down. Say amen right there. You should be proud of yourselves in that. We don't like change. And I say, well, let's just be patient. Let's be gentle. Let's be caring. This is a good idea, and it is something we need to do. But it's not something that we've done this way before. And we'll take our time, and we'll get it there eventually. You remember me telling you about the spaghetti sauce commercial when I was a kid? Y'all remember? The little boy was waiting and waiting and waiting. He wanted to eat. He was so hungry. He was sitting at the table. And Chef Boyardee's over there cooking away, you know, or somebody. I don't know who it is. And he finally says to the little boy, patience, my son. Good things take time, right? It was just a spaghetti sauce commercial, but boy, that stuck with me. Best kind of meals are crock pot meals, aren't they? Put them in there and wait all day. Boy, that makes some good stuff. Caring or gentleness requires patience. We can only work together when uniquely like-minded, naturally caring, gentle to all, and willing to be patient. And this is all very hard, except for Timothy's next trait. And when we see Timothy's next trait, and that is evident, all of this becomes easy. See, in verse 21, Paul says about Timothy here, Jesus is first in his life. For all seek their own, not the things which are Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ. Timothy put Jesus Christ first. It's easy to put other things first in our life. We can give first place to our plans, our family, our successes, or anything else that we want to fill in the blank with there. But if you do, even those things will become distorted and you will miss life's greatest blessings. Timothy put Christ first. Together with Christ's interest and the other things fell into place naturally. Timothy, you put Christ first and your plans will come about naturally. You put Christ first and your family will come around naturally. Now, this is not to say by putting Christ first, you'll never have problems and everything will always be hunky-dory. Of course not. We know that's not the case. But I'm going to tell you, you put Christ second, you're still going to have those same problems, but you're not going to have Christ first as you go through those problems. Amen. Timothy was able to be naturally caring. Timothy was able to be unique and nobody like just like him because he put Christ first. Paul and Timothy both put Christ first and could work together because of this. If Christ is not first in my life, I'm not able to work together with you. Neither you with me if Christ is not first in your life. You know, we can fake it for a while, can't we? But it'll never work unless it's naturally happening. Boy, if that happens anywhere in life, it happens in church. We come, we're excited, we're happy to be here, you know. We try to work together, but if we're just faking it, if it's not naturally happening, eventually there comes a fight, there becomes a disagreement, there comes a leaving. These things happen at the church. And I'm not saying they're not going to happen, and I don't have the solution for that. But I do understand the teaching that's here today, is that we are all called of God for a purpose. We are all worshiping together as called of God for that purpose. And we can all accomplish what we are called to do if we work together in that thing. And that comes from putting Jesus Christ first, from being naturally caring, and then acting upon that which we are gifted to do by God. Put Christ first. Become naturally caring. Notice how like-minded those are around you. Then you'll see this final trait that we see of Timothy. Verse 22, he works with others. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Timothy is praised in that he had learned to work with others. Paul says of him, as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. You know, too often we want to be independent. We want to say, this is my ministry. This is my work. This is what my calling, my gift, whatever it is that God has given us to do. And really it is. God's given you your thing to do. God's given me my thing to do. God's given them their thing to do. And it really is. But don't try so hard to be so independent. Don't be so fearful of someone else wanting to become involved in that same thing. Welcome the help. Welcome the opportunity for someone to work together with you on this thing. It's not your little thing to hoard over here and hold in your hands and keep everybody else away from. It is your thing that God has given you to pour out on as many people as possible and to share with them. Timothy is praised in that he had learned to work with others. We want to serve God, but the work must be our work as we try to work independently and must be run according to our conception of things. A real mark of Christian maturity is the ability to work with others cooperatively for the cause of Jesus Christ. Didn't Paul teach us that already here? He said, some are misusing the preaching of the gospel. But he said, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm going to rejoice because even though they're doing it for their own reasons, the gospel is still preached. Now, that's on the extreme end of things, but boy, that's a great illustration of what we're saying here. Our theme today is working together. Paul wanted to go to them himself. Notice verse 24. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. But he might not be able to. And for sure he couldn't just yet because he's locked away. He's not going to get there. In one sense, Paul was unable to find anyone in the Roman church willing to go to Philippi. We read that in verse 21. In another sense, though, Paul was able to send Timothy. We read in verse 23. And can you imagine being Timothy? Timothy was probably very excited to go. What an honor. This young preacher was able to go in place of the great missionary Paul. Wow, what an honor. Working together, Paul and Timothy were able to accomplish what neither of them could do alone. Paul couldn't go, and Timothy could go without Paul's blessing, but the church wouldn't have accepted him. But working together, they were able to accomplish what neither of them could do alone. Where are you today? Are you in the church but not willing to go? We read in verse 21 of some who were that way. Maybe you're not able. Or are you like Timothy? There and anxiously waiting to be sent, to be used, ready to do something. Only being like Timothy can we all work together. And I would end by saying this. Without working together, the church does not work. Let's stand and have a time of prayer. Ms. Wiggins is going to play us a verse of a song while we pray. And as we pray today, pray that God will help you to be more like Timothy. And help us all to be less like this church who's described there. In fact, we can always pray that in prayer. Many times the church is exactly that way. We're satisfied with just how we are, just how we're doing it. Don't want to go anywhere. Don't want to have to do anything. Just leave me alone in my own little... I used to sing a song when I was a kid. It was a kind of a silly song, but it was really good. Leave me here on my shelf and let me... rust and gather dust until I die. Something along those lines. I can't remember all the words to it. Let's not be that way. Let's work together for the sake of the gospel. Accomplish the things that God would have us to accomplish in life. If you're here today and you've never been saved, this all begins. You can get involved in this messy work with us by becoming a Christian. It's hard work, I'll tell you. And we have to work together. We have to learn to get along. But none of that's possible if Jesus is not first in our lives. And Jesus becomes first when you become a Christian. Confess your sins, call upon the name of the Lord for salvation. That's our invitation today. Let's have a time of prayer now, all together.